I'm very glad to be here with you all for sharing a very important topic. You'll find, if you know what is happening in the offices and universities around the world, you'll find that the main concern that intelligent persons have is not simply their career, but fulfillment. I think that we have to recognize two things. Yes, one needs a career. And yes, one needs fulfillment. It is not automatic that the two are the same thing. I trust that many of you here are students.
Yes,
all right. Student means that you are preparing for something. So we have to analyze what is it that we are preparing for, and will it give me the fulfillment that I am searching for? Now, first I would like to make it clear that the knowledge and information that I'm going to present to you in no way discourages the development of a career. At the same time, I would like that you consider the possibility that you may have to do something more than just your career in order to obtain fulfillment and satisfaction. So, that is okay? I am no stranger to career development. As you heard, before taking up Krishna consciousness, following the call of Calcutta's finest emissary, Srila Prabhupada, I was attending Yale University . The institution which has given the world so many American presidents, for better or worse, including the current one and his father, as well as the preceding one and his wife also. So, I'm no stranger to the upper echelons, the upper levels of careerism. In fact, I often point out when I'm speaking at IIT in Mumbai that currently the cost of a Yale education, 4 years at Yale, is $100,000. So I did that. Of course, I did not pay for it. I was a scholarship student. Nevertheless, you can add up the costs. $25,000 a year times four, $100,000. Then, upon graduating, I discovered Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. That book by Kolkata's finest emissary cost me $5. Upon completing that book, I instantly realized this is the topmost education. And I spent $5 on it compared to the cost of $100,000 for 4 years at Yale. I'm explaining to you these things so that you'll see I can see things your way. Now I know what you're wondering. Okay, Swami. So, you went to Yale and you graduated. Okay, we can understand that. But then what happened? Our fear is, look at you now, and do we want to go the same route? And is what you're going to explain to us, is it going to bring about the same conclusion? Well, let me ask you a question so I can put your fears at rest. How many of you plan to be university professors? Anyone? Okay. But you're all studying at the university and you're taking some things which you feel will enhance your life. Correct? Similarly, everyone can study Krishna consciousness and apply it in their life without fearing that they must end up becoming a professor of Krishna consciousness. That's fair? Okay, I ended up being a professor of Krishna consciousness. Someone has to be a professor, yes? But it doesn't mean that everyone who takes an education from the professor is going to become a professor. Only very few. Still, everyone can benefit from the knowledge given by a professor, and everyone can apply it for the development of their career. I'm sure you've all heard it before, but it's good to repeat. We have to learn to discriminate between professors in Krishna consciousness and those who are hearing from professors. Or, for example, in the business world, if your company has some problem, what does it do? It calls in a management consultant firm. Now, does it mean that everyone in the business world is a management consultant? No. If that was the case, then who would the management consultants talk to? Everyone is a consultant. Still, there is the need for the specialists. Similarly, in the science of life, there is the need for specialists, consultants. Just because you're hearing from a consultant or a specialist doesn't mean that you will have to be a consultant or a specialist. But certainly, you can apply what you hear and see the benefit. In any society, the number of the advisors is small, and the numbers of the persons who are doing the various aspects of society is very great. Similarly in Krishna consciousness. The numbers of those who are consultants and advisors is smaller than the masses of persons who are performing the various duties and obligations of society. So I just want you to have a good picture of the whole situation so that we can do away with any unnecessary paranoia, any unnecessary fear. I want you to feel confident that you're able to get the nectar of Krishna consciousness without the danger of becoming a sadhu. I can understand this fear because our founder, Srila Prabhupada, when he was a university student in Kolkata in the early 20th century, his friend wanted to bring him to hear a sadhu. And our Srila Prabhupada protested, "No, no, no sadhus. I've seen so many of them. My father would invite them for dinner. I've seen so many cheaters, so many charlatans. No sadhus." So this fear is in our line of teachers. We can understand. Of course, Srila Prabhupada ultimately was dragged by his friend to meet this sadhu, who was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he became impressed immediately after some discussion. So, we understand this fear. Alright, now let's move on from the fear to something else. We spoke about how there are two things, the career and the fulfillment. You shouldn't mix these things together. Like, just because I have a career, I'll be fulfilled. No. Yes, we need to maintain ourselves. We need to maintain our families. But there also has to be another dimension to our life. Otherwise, we can become very mentally depressed and begin to do activities that are harmful, not simply for our spiritual development, but also harmful for our material development. Now, if you study statistics, you will find that in the Western countries, like USA, UK, Australia, those who are working the professional jobs say that the most important thing about working for them is what? Is not salary. They say the most important thing for their professionalism is job satisfaction. Now, job satisfaction means fulfillment. And fulfillment actually means I want to love and be loved. Appreciation. People expect some kind of love from their career. That others will appreciate your expertise, your abilities, your achievements. That is another way of love. I'm telling you these things because we should realize that the need for love, the drive for love, is the most powerful, whether we recognize it or not. In bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, we immediately recognize that the living entity has the loving propensity. Why is that? Because we are part of Krishna, and Krishna has the loving propensity. In other words, Krishna is the complete whole. Everything emanates from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedanta Sutra begin with the statement, Janmari Asyataha. The supreme absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. When you say everything emanates from the supreme, that means everything. Love also. In other words, Krishna is not simply the maintainer, the creator, the destroyer of the universe, but Krishna is the most expert at love. But in Krishna, we must recognize that love exists in its pure, non-material state, and therefore the love is not frustrating. But when we act in the material world based on material bodies and material relationships, the loving propensity becomes distorted, perverted, frustrated. We look for love in the wrong way, in the wrong places, and therefore we become very disturbed. Looking at you all here, I wonder, what will your future be? Maybe some of you will stay here in India. Maybe some of you will go overseas. But your quest is fulfillment. Naturally, you want money. That's all right. Everyone needs some money to live. But mainly, you want fulfillment of your career instincts, your career impulses. You want to feel that I am a competent person. I have expertise that is recognized by others. And then you'll also want to feel that now that I am successful, I can help others to be successful. But if we're truly going to help others to be successful, first we have to help ourselves. We have to know how to truly be fulfilled and satisfied. Otherwise, our need to be loved and to love, when it's unfulfilled, will cause great problems in life, and then we turn to self-destructive activities. And this is what is going on in the Western world now. Destruction brought about by intoxication, uncontrolled senses, all this has led to the breakdown of family life and then mental depression. This now is the legacy of the first world. I was speaking at IIT and I asked them, so how many of you are planning to go overseas to the U.S. after finishing? And 98% of them raise their hands. Yes, we are going. I always joke that Nehru arranged that these institutions be called IIT. Actually, it should be AIT. The India Institute of Technology, all the graduates go to the USA, so it should be AIT, American Institute of Technology. It is like that in the material world. You make a plan and it backfires. So the students were explaining to me that Nehru had this plan to make these technological super schools for bringing India to the highest standard of material development. But all the graduates leave the country. Of course, you can point out that they send over the foreign exchange, so therefore there is a benefit. But that wasn't Nehru's plan. So, anyway, they all say, we are going overseas. So then I asked them, why are Indians in such high demand in professional circles in the U.S.? Well, they were very happy to answer that question. But we will tell you, very hard workers, another, very dependable, very responsible. Higher IQs, able to work Saturdays and Sundays without complaint. Expert in working in groups. Teamwork. Very cooperative. So, I asked, well, why then do Indians get the call and the people in America or England, New Zealand, Australia, what about them? What happened? For example, I know corporate recruiters in New Zealand, and they have told me when they have a job vacancy to fulfill in the corporate world on the professional level, let's say they get 5 applicants for this very choice job. Of those 5 applicants, 3 are European, New Zealanders, 1 is Indian, and 1 is Chinese. The corporate recruiters told me, first, we always go for the Indian. Number 2, if you can't get the Indian, you go for the Chinese. Last, we go for our own people. Now, why is that? Same salary. No. But why? Did they neglect their own people? Because their own people are so stricken by intoxication, personal problems because of depression, because of family breakdown, no discipline, uncontrolled senses. So the employers, the corporate employers, they're thinking, we don't want the workday to be filled with all these personal complications. Practically speaking, out of such persons, you only get 1 or 2 productive days a week. Because the weekends, they are totally absorbed in intoxication, wild sensual activities. And then they come back to work on Monday, it takes them 2 or 3 days to come down. They're just in a daze. They're just Monday morning. And it takes them till Wednesday morning to snap out of it and focus. And then 2 days later, it's Friday again. So any businessman knows this is not good. You're losing so much time. But if they employ an Indian, then 9 a.m. Monday morning, he's there. Yes, sir, what needs to be done? Even Friday evening, he'll say, sir, should I come in on the weekend for special work? So the employers are naturally thinking, this is what we want for our company. Now, I ask this question. The very thing that has destroyed minds and intelligence in the West and therefore made a need for Indians to work there, that very thing is now being shipped into India to destroy life here, and the people are taken. Do you see what's going on? You are highly in demand overseas because the people overseas, the British, the Americans, the Australians, the New Zealanders, their culture is smashed by so much hedonism, uncontrolled senses, so much personal corruption. So therefore, you get the nod. Yes, we'll hire you. We'll have a problem-free experience with you. But then, the very thing that's given you the advantage, your Indian training in restraint, integrity, modesty, that's being destroyed. So you see what's going on? You all know how everywhere in India there is the onslaught of Western consumerism encouraging you, whatever you feel at the moment, you should do. And in this way, you will feel happiness. Those of you who will go overseas to work, this is the first thing that's going to hit you when you get off the airplane. The first thing, you're going to feel no restraint, No parental authority, no family tradition, no moral codes, just whatever you feel like at the present moment. Wow. That's the first thing that's going to hit you in the face. And many of you will mistake this for a very advanced way of life. Not bound by tradition, not bound by religion. Simply follow the dictates of your senses however they lead you. But that very illusion is what has destroyed society in the West and given you the advantage. But now, here in India, you are buying into the illusion. Yes, bring it, bring it, bring it. How much more degraded can Bollywood get? Come on, go lower, go lower, go lower. Yeah. How much more degraded can our musicians get? Our pop musicians, go lower, go lower. How much more provocative can the fashions be? Make it worse, make it worse. Quickly, quickly. Yes. How much more pornography can be viewed on the internet? More, more, bring more. So this is what is happening. And so you lose your advantage in this way. Unless you can dovetail your career development with spiritual development, then you will preserve your competitive edge. My point in telling you this is to show that Krishna consciousness makes the best sense, not only from the spiritual point of view, but also from the material point of view. When your loving propensity is frustrated, you do self-destructive acts. Because you want genuine love. By identifying with the body as the self, instead of understanding your spiritual identity, you're forced to be frustrated. And this is what consumeristic propaganda urges you to do. You are the body. Think of your senses. What do your senses want now? Gratify your senses immediately in any possible way. Then you are at the pinnacle of civilization. This is the sad reality. Now, if you're going to properly organize your career, you must recognize you have this loving propensity. In Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is recognized by the great sages and sadhus of India. They recognize that because Krishna is the source of all love, you also have this loving urge. In Krishna, the loving urge is expressed in complete perfection. The boy-girl interest begins in Krishna. But when it's expressed in you, in your material conditioned illusion state, that loving propensity becomes problematic. Because you seek to satisfy that loving propensity through matter, material bodies. That is the problem. So our real career, besides earning a salary, our real career is how to cope with our loving propensity. If you can recognize this, you'll be able to capture the power of your life. But if you ignore this, it'll be at your own peril. Ignore your need for proper love, and then you'll turn to intoxication, depraved activities. Now, the Western world has made a mistake in separating careerism from spiritual development. The Western world says, never mind spiritual development. This is old-fashioned. Just focus on your career. But they haven't been able to do that successfully. They become more and more depressed. Mental depression is so common. Why? Because people don't know how to live, what to live for. When you push on your career combined with your spiritual development, just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's career was a military professional. So he executed his profession while developing his Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mama Nusma Yujam Cha, fight and think of me. Execute your occupation and keep your consciousness upon me. This timeless message of Bhagavad Gita is the most desperately needed remedy today. Now, what happens if you just focus on careerism minus spiritual development? You lose sight of the goal of life, you lose sight of the need to have a proper character, and you start to do anything to please your senses. There's no higher purpose to your life. Suppose you all would tell your parents, Father, Mother, I have a job offer in London. They would be so happy, yes? Yes? They would be able to say to the other relatives, to the neighbors, my son is working in London. Yes? And they were, very successful family. And then they would turn to their own children. Why don't you try to work in London? Your uncle's son, he's working in London. Or our neighbor across the street, their son is working in London as a professional. Right? And then you feel the pressure. And you start thinking, yes, yes, I must work in London. I must get a key job in London. If tomorrow you got in the post one letter from a corporation in London offering you a post, you would just jump in the air, yes? Yes, yes. All right. Now, I'm going to read you some statistics I spoke in Mumbai to a gathering of persons like you, much bigger, maybe 500 or 600 persons of your caliber. I'll read you some statistics taken from the newspaper in London about office life amongst professionals in London. Now you're going to hear the reality. So remember, when you get that letter in the post, you'll jump for joy. Oh, I've been offered a job in London as marketing research or engineer or anything, doesn't matter. Let's hear what goes on in the offices in London amongst the professionals. Are you ready? Okay. Remember, this is what life is like when people do not know what to do with their loving propensity, and they experience frustration in trying to satisfy their loving propensity. So, in the offices of urban professionals in London, 45% say they would backstab their own colleague in order to advance their position. 45%. Mm-hmm. 13% say they would sleep with their boss for promotion. 36% say they lied on their CVs. 50% admit drinking alcohol during working hours. 33% admitted sharing illegal drugs in the office premises. 62% have been proposed for sex by a working colleague. 20% have admitted to having sexual relations in the office. 33% view pornography on the internet. 28% admitted to padding their expense accounts. 48% admitted stealing something while at work. And 42% imagined killing their boss. So here is the reality. Remember, if you would get the letter in the post, you would jump for joy. An office job as a professional in London. But here is the reality. So, obviously you would say, okay, I would take the job, but I would never do these things, right? The power of association is so great that you would be influenced. Without a doubt. I know of one young Indian graduate, business administration. He got a job with a very famous business consultancy firm, and he was 25. He has his MBA, and they put him to work under a 24-year-old Western young lady who hadn't his educational qualifications, but she had been with the company since she was 18 and developed experience in that way, and therefore they gave her a supervisory job. So since he was just coming in with his MBA, he had to begin under her. This was in Sydney, Australia. So she made his life so miserable because she had heard, oh, these Indian men think that women are inferior. I'll show him. So she was ordering him so severely, do this, do that. Giving him a very difficult time, constantly chastising him. You must work quicker. You must be more thorough. Just lording it over him in this way, because she had seen on television that, you know, in India, women are should be more in the background and should be submissive. So she was determined she was going to teach him a lesson. She chose him to be like the representative of all India, as she was going to put the whole country in its place by dealing with him. So she gave him such a difficult time. He told me this. Day after day, such misery. He went to the higher administrators and said, why is she doing like this? And they even said, yes, we know, we have noticed she's being very severe, but this is something you're going to have to learn to deal with in the professional world, so we're watching you to see. And then we will judge you accordingly. If you can survive this, then we will consider you fit for promotion into the higher ranks. So what can he do? Day after day, she was like this, you know, ordering him and commanding him. And then one day, she came in to the office with red eyes, and so she was sitting at her desk, and sometimes she would cry a little bit, and then she turned to him, and she said, you know, this past weekend was so horrible for me. I broke up with my boyfriend. Please, can you come with me? Let us have some coffee. And he was... he was, oh my goodness, what to do? For 5 months she has been so severe on me. And now, in this moment of weakness, she's inviting me to go out with her. And he just didn't know how to handle this. One minute she's the big, tough female lady. The next minute, please... come, let us take some coffee. Yes, I'm giving you real life accounts of the confusion that goes on. So, if you want to have a proper balanced life, you must develop the Krishna conscious side. Otherwise, you'll become just as bewildered as all these Western people who are so absorbed in mental depression that their own countrymen don't want to hire them for the job. We'll take the Indian. If no Indians around, we'll go for the Chinese. Last, our own people. Our own people will just drink, they'll become depressed, they have no family structure, they're always in a situation of personal upheaval. If they marry, for sure there'll be divorce, then divorce complications, which children from which marriage do I see this weekend? Yes! Is it the children from my second marriage? Or the children from my third marriage? How to schedule all of them? And it gets so confusing. The child support payments, this, that, the other. It is very complicated. In New Zealand, there is one. I know of one couple, young couple. When the girl was 14, her parents, they're educational professionals, they said, "Oh, we see you are interested in the boys. Well, we are very good parents. We don't want that you hide these things. You just invite your boyfriend home and have him live with you in your room." 14. So, she did that. And some other, she stayed together with this boy. And until they were in their early 20s. And then they became interested in bhakti and Krishna consciousness. So I told them upon meeting them that, "All right, it's very nice that you're taking to Krishna consciousness. So simply I think that now that you have been living together for 8 years, probably you should marry." Oh. Yes. This is normal. There's nothing wrong with man and woman being together, but they should marry. And I think it's time now, since you have been living together for 8 years, it's time to marry. So they said, okay. They were going to do that. And by that time, the girl, she had 2 children. And they had been together for 8 years, so I just humbly suggested, maybe it's about time to consider marriage. I know this sounds amazing too. So then, the mother, she heard this. And remember, she's an educational professional, very nicely placed, very nice house, good money. The mother came to talk to her, to counsel her. She said, "Now, I want you to understand, you don't have to do this. Are you sure that he's the one?" "Don't feel the pressure. Be very careful. Is he the one?" And by that time, the daughter had been practicing Krishna consciousness, so she had some sanity. She said, you know, when her mother kept saying, "Are you sure he's the one? You don't have to do this now. Think carefully." So the daughter said, "Mother, after 8 years of being together with him and having 2 children, I think it's a bit late for me to..." It seems to be a done deal. Anyway, they're a very nice couple in Krishna consciousness. So, what I'm trying to point out to you is that the Western world has no understanding of how to deal with the loving propensity, and this is the problem they want to export to India. So frustrated love is the hottest import item in India now. Yes, frustrated love. Import it. Bring it to India. Please, you wait to the end. There'll be time for questions. So, if we cannot spiritually handle our loving propensity, it causes us such trouble. The whole of real human civilization is based on how to properly deal with this loving propensity so that you are actually satisfied. Bhakti yoga teaches you to apply your loving propensity to Lord Krishna, and because Krishna includes everyone and everything, then everyone is satisfied. The Srimad Bhagavatam points out, water the tree at the root, and then all the branches will blossom. But if you tried to water each leaf of the tree individually, that is not a practical way how to give water to the tree. You must find the root. So bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, means apply your efforts for fulfillment at Krishna, and then you will be satisfied. Make a career? That's all right. Take education? That's all right. But understand that you must cope with this loving propensity in the right way, otherwise it will cause you havoc. The Western world has not coped with this loving propensity in the correct way, and therefore they have so many personal problems. I'll give you another statistic. Amongst the brightest American high school students, one out of every four of the brightest students has considered committing suicide. Why is all this happening? Because they don't know how to deal with themselves and their urges. The self-control and restraint that is natural to traditional Indian society is unknown now in the West, and they want it to become unknown in India. We should think that perhaps the ancient sages actually knew something very important. Yes, the knowledge that Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is the most important for our satisfaction and fulfillment. Because unless you can satisfy the soul, then life will be very perverted. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Indriyani Pranyahu Indriyabhya Paratmana. When you talk about the body, you're speaking about senses. But higher than the body's senses is the mind. Higher than the mind is intelligence. And highest of all is the soul. So your efforts for fulfillment have to reach that highest level. Otherwise, there are problems on the lower levels. I know that all of you can very easily become full, balanced, Krishna-conscious persons while you are going to school, while you are executing your career. It is not a problem. Sometimes there's the worry, if I become too much absorbed in spiritual knowledge and spiritual practices, I won't have time for my career. Actually, the practices of Krishna consciousness will make your consciousness focused and sharp, and you do your material activities quicker. So much time is spent spacing out in the mind. But if your mind is trained and focused in Krishna consciousness, then you don't spend so much time daydreaming about this and that. For example, the statistics from American universities show that during the average university lecture of 1 hour, the students are thinking of sex life 65% of the time during the lecture. So that's an enormous waste of concentration power. But the Krishna conscious person with the disciplined, controlled mind, disciplined and controlled because of getting the higher spiritual pleasure, then it's easy to stay away from the lower pleasure. The Krishna conscious person can be more productive. And of course, the ultimate productivity is how to develop your love of Krishna simply because Krishna is all attractive and he's the best object of our love. That is the real reason. Still, it is a fact that materially your life will be better in Krishna consciousness. Everything that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita will result not only in spiritual perfection, but also a better material life. I'll give you one final example. You've all heard that in the world there's a hunger problem, yes? That people are not getting sufficient food, and this is a great mistake of society that it cannot arrange for the proper nutrition of everyone. This is complete propaganda. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakya priyashtati. Krishna says, offer me a leaf, fruit, flower, water. If there's devotion with the offering, I will accept it. So we are vegetarians because whatever we eat has to be offered to Krishna, and Krishna only accepts as an offering certain kinds of food. So therefore, we are vegetarians. Still, if you become vegetarian simply because Krishna says it, it's also the best thing for your health. It's the best thing for your material life. Now, I don't think we have any agronomists here, do we? Any agricultural experts? Any nutritionists here? No. All right. Let me give you some statistics. I was speaking this at IIT yesterday. If you take 1 acre of land, yes, you measure land in acres. One acre of land, and you want to feed a person their yearly protein. How many persons can you feed their yearly protein requirements off of 1 acre of land which is devoted to meat production? How many persons can get the yearly protein requirement from 1 acre of land devoted to meat products? Who knows? 1 person. This is why the USA not only grows so much meat on its own land, but it imports meat from Argentina, Australia. It takes so much agricultural land to support meat eaters. Now, if you take that same acre of land and you grow soy products for getting the protein from soy products, how many persons will get their yearly protein requirements from 1 acre of land devoted to soy production? 40. Doesn't end there. How many of you know what spirulina is? Anyone know what spirulina is? Spirulina. It's like a plant algae. Alright. Yes. So, green food. It's like a plant algae. So, if you take 1 acre of land and you grow spirulina, this plant algae, how many persons will get their yearly protein requirement? 1,000. Now, the first thing an affluent person will say is, I'm not going to eat spirulina every day, plant algae. But that's not the point. The point is, you say there's a world hunger problem. And I'm just proving to you that the world hunger problem is all artificial. It's induced by billions of people having unnecessary culinary desires, and that puts the rest of the world in a bad situation. And then they bring these culinary false desires to a place like India. Why simply be vegetarian? You can have McDonald's, you can have KFC, all these great things that make for a wonderful society. Now, one final point to show you that by following Krishna's instructions, coincidentally, you also materially benefit. Take the country where I'm based in, New Zealand. It's consisting of 2 islands, North and South Island. Anyone ever been there? No. Okay. So, the North Island, to drive from the bottom to the top, it would probably take you 12 hours. So it's not a huge island. So, if you grew spirulina on half of just one of the islands in New Zealand, you would have enough yearly protein to feed 6 billion people just off of half of one of the islands of New Zealand devoted to spirulina production. So obviously, even from the material point of view, Krishna knows what he's talking about. And certainly, if we follow Krishna's instructions for our personal lives, then our loving propensity will be satisfied and we'll be more peacefully and properly able to execute our profession. That's a side benefit. Still, I want you to understand the ultimate goal of life is simply to love Krishna because Krishna is the most attractive, the most beautiful. But I know you're all concerned about your career development. So I'm pointing out to you, without the high goal, you will fall down to the lower level, just like the Western world. Mm-hmm. There has to be a balance. And in Krishna consciousness, we teach you how to have that balance so that your material and spiritual needs will be easily satisfied. All right? So I beg you, please don't be frustrated by applying or misapplying your loving propensity. Please learn how to deal with your urge to love in Krishna consciousness, and then you'll be a balanced, sane, and sober human being. Any questions? Obviously, they are still going on based on past glories. But they're smart enough to understand that for their future, they need you. That's why they're importing you. They're running on their past glories. These men who are winning a Nobel Prize, they're old men coming from different generation. But the present younger generation, people your age, they're wild in their mind. So therefore, they're importing you into the USA. They're smart. Just like England. England also knows their young people are completely crazy. The social statistics for England now are that 1 out of 4 11-year-olds is having illicit sex. 11 years old, 1 out of 4. What kind of society is that? It's an animal society. So therefore, what England does is by the arrangement of the EU, the new European Union, they take the cream of the crop from these former communist countries, like Poland, Czech, Bulgaria, like that. And they say, come to England, take up the positions in our banking and service sectors, because they can't get enough qualified or focused British youth to fill these posts. So the USA does it with Indians. Indians one and Chinese two. Distant second is Chinese. For the low-paying jobs like dishwashing, cleaning streets, the USA brings in Mexicans. For the brain jobs, they bring in the Indians. They're smart. They know we have to do this in order to go on. When the former President Clinton came to Delhi, maybe six years ago, what did he announce? He offered mukti, liberation. He said, we're increasing the numbers of visas to 300,000 per year. What is he saying? Come on, bring all the brains. We'll take them. Smart, intelligent. We've destroyed our people already. We've destroyed our youth through consumerism and hedonism. You still have some brains? Come on, we take you. That's smart, isn't it? In a limited way. Of course, then they will use you to manufacture consumer goods that they'll ship back to India and create a craze there and then destroy life here. So ultimately, it's not smart. But in the limited short run, it is smart. Wherever there's brains, we take. This is the way you do the global economy. You saturate your own markets with washing machines, then you look to India. How to get every person in India to realize they need a clothes dryer. It's not good enough to hang your clothes out on the line anymore. If you are a worthy human being, you must have a clothes dryer. That's business. Similarly, our people, their brains are crazy from so many drugs, bad living habits. So we bring in the Indians. We don't mind giving them the same wage. We'll pay them high as long as they produce high. And we keep the competitive edge that way. So this is what's happening. But what you see in terms of the high achievements that you mentioned, this is all done by the older generation, and 50, 60 years old, who did have some discipline. Now that is all gone amongst the younger generation. You live in student hostel? Do you know what a student hostel is like at an American university? Would you like me to tell you? Boys and girls live on the same floor and share the same bathrooms. Yeah, that's common. When I first went to Yale, it was all boys, which it had been since its inception in the 1800s. The next year, they brought in the ladies. They put the ladies in a separate building. The next year, they put the ladies in the same building as the men, but on different floors. The next year, they put them all on the same floor, but different bathrooms. The next year, everybody on the same floor, using the same bathroom, showers, everything. Now, what would your brains be like living in that situation? Tell me honestly. What would you be thinking of? Be honest. Tell me. Here you are coming from, Calcutta, or even a smaller town, village in Bengal, and then you get a scholarship to Harvard, Yale, and then you have your room, and it's the first day, and you say, okay, let me take a shower, and you you walk into the shower. What would you be thinking? Your brains would just go crazy. Yes? Yeah, is it so? Be honest. How would you concentrate on your work? So this is the reality. So therefore, that's why they're bringing you into the country. To fill this need for intelligence to staff the scientific and technical positions. Otherwise they wouldn't do it. You think that they're so broad-minded, brotherly love, and all that? Forget it. It's all business. Why don't we solve this problem here in India by teaching the knowledge of how to have proper love by loving Krishna? Love of God is the highest calling of the human being. When the love of God is solved, then you have a balanced life. Matter cannot satisfy you because matter is temporary. But Krishna can satisfy you because Krishna is the supreme spiritual source of everything. This is the difference. Any other questions? Yeah.
How can I get happiness in my working place? I work in a public sector.
Mm-hmm.
I keep my consciousness. How can I get happiness in my working place? Main problem, I can get happiness.
If you forget your promotion?
Yeah, I know, but I cannot forget my promotion.
Okay. All right. You have to analyze if by getting a promotion, it will benefit all aspects of your life. Not simply greater paycheck, but maybe there might be greater anxiety also. So you have to coolly and calmly look at everything. Will the rise in the pay come with disadvantages or advantages? Will, if you get more pay because of promotion, will you get some added disadvantages or advantages? What do you say?
After reading Gita, I can feel that I'll get more money, but I'll not be able to give more happiness. But I cannot feel from the heart of my wife.
But what? You?
From the heart, I cannot feel.
Ah. Okay. You have more money. Will you have to spend more time to get the more money?
Yes.
Okay, almost the same time. Will there be more anxiety? Can you handle it?
Yeah, I can handle, but happiness will not be there. But I have to think that first is happiness.
Okay, but don't expect complete happiness from this job. It'll give you some temporary satisfaction. That's we're not criticizing that. But the ultimate happiness comes from your spiritual development. You have to keep the balance. So will the promotion destroy your balance between spiritual and material or not?
Yes,
better not do it then. You have enough money now?
I have sufficient money.
All right. Then develop your career sufficiently. It's all right, but don't destroy the balance. Remember, what is your real goal in life is how to develop pure love for Krishna. Otherwise, your love will be frustrated and you'll become very angry, disappointed, disillusioned.
It means I can provide pure love.
That is the whole process of Bhakti Yoga Krishna Consciousness. That is what we are teaching here. Have your career, that's all right. But remember that your real satisfaction will come from your Krishna consciousness. That's all we're saying. You don't have to be a professor of Krishna consciousness like me. Few will do that. But you can apply Krishna consciousness in your life, and you can always consult a Krishna conscious lifestyle management consultant, just like you just did. Anything else? Yes.
Sir, you told that it's like very vulgar in the Western country.
Not in India, but only in the West.
Only the West?
Yeah, only the West.
It's also creeping to India. So,
Very little.
My question is that
no pornography in India. Zero. You walk into internet cafe, everyone is simply doing email, nothing more. And the films that come from Bollywood are so uplifting, so enriching. Oh, and the lives of the Bollywood movie stars are just emblems of moral integrity. But go on.
Yeah, my question is that sexual desire is a normal process.
Normal process?
No, normal process means the desire for sex is satisfied in everyone.
Yes.
But exceeding a limit, it brings vulgarity in the society.
Okay, one question. Quick. Was this desire in you before the age of 12?
Very little.
Okay, before the age of 11.
Yes, sir. From the childhood, it's growing.
No. You were not thinking of the girls until you were at least 12 years old.
Yes, 10 to 12.
All right, 10 to 12. All right.
Yes. All right. So I'm saying that fundamentally, how can we control this?
Very good question. Yes. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna explains, param dusvanda vartate. Krishna is very open and honest. Lord Krishna explains, you may understand the need to control your senses and try to do it, but you will fail unless you get superior pleasure. Trying to control your senses without getting superior pleasure will prove to be futile. The best way and the only successful way to control your senses is to replace the lower pleasure with the higher spiritual pleasure.
What's a good thing?
It will take as much time as you make it. If you wanted to take it, if you want it to be a long time, it'll be a long time.
So you need the correct environment also for that.
Yes, you need the correct environment. Very important. Therefore, we have an association like this to bring together the most intelligent persons for considering how to get the best pleasure, the best love, the best knowledge. That is Krishna consciousness. Very good point.
But is it possible, since every time it brings failure, to control this smaller physical state of mind?
Unless you have the Krishna conscious pleasure, it will prove impossible. Krishna is honest. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. He's not hiding things from you. Even though it will be beneficial for you to make any endeavor to control your senses, still the fact is you will fail without the Krishna conscious pleasure. Because your loving propensity will be frustrated. We think we are the body, and that love is expressed with the body. This is a huge mistake.
Why are we the way we are?
What is the way that you are?
Why are we like this? Why do we fall down? Why are we made in such a way?
So why we tend to be so selfish?
Because we misidentify the body as the self, and we become attached to being an illusion. How many of you here saw the first movie, Matrix? Raise your hands. That means twice as many, but you're not raising the hands. Okay. You remember when one of the freedom fighters, he decided to betray his comrades and go back into the illusion? You remember that? And he said very powerfully, "I know when I bite into a steak that it's all just the matrix producing an illusion. Still, I don't care. Make me an actor, make me rich, make me famous. I know it's just an illusion generated by the computer. I don't care." This is the kind of so-called civilization that is being propagated all over the world today. Don't think. Don't try to control your senses. Get as much money as you can and then gratify your senses whatever way you like. Then your life will be successful. This is the horror that's happening. So we become attached to being in ignorance. I don't care that I don't know. If you go to the West, you'll hear so many people say that. So what if I don't know who I am? What is the loss? I'm having a good time. I'm doing whatever I like. They'll say like that. And then they export this attitude to India through the television, through the movies. Why should you think so much? Just let your senses run wild. This is the problem. And we become attached to this ignorance because of social pressure, and then our life is ruined. We have to find another way of living. Anything else? Okay, let me. What was the question?
But in Bengal, but the Communist Party and religious people have failed to solve the problem socially. So what?
Both the bombing system of the world and the religious system of the world has helped to solve the problem of the human being. So who is the defective? Whether the religion, bombing, or religious people? How many days do we suffer by this kind of system which is making it more and making it better to the
First of all, we must know what is real religion before we say that religion has failed. The problem is the people do not know what the real thing is. If they take Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, they will spiritually and materially benefit. But the problem is, no one is following Bhagavad Gita properly, and then they blame religion. We must take the process as given by Lord Krishna without adulterating it, and then we'll get the pure result. Those who do that, they are successful. The process of bhakti yoga means to produce high quality persons. I know you mentioned communism. I spent 8 years teaching Krishna consciousness underground in communist countries. So I saw what the result is. Bengal is not real communism. It is special khichdi mixture. But I have spent 8 years in the 80s in real communist countries and saw the misery of the people. Communism, from the material point of view, it's a nice idea. But as one person said, that socialism would work wonderfully if everyone is a saint. But if everyone's a saint, who needs socialism? So that's on the material plane. Still, it's a materially attractive idea. But without Krishna in the center, everything becomes troublesome, whether it's capitalism, communism, consumerism, scientism, thisism, thatism. So we are equally disposed, we are fair-minded to all isms. Without Krishna, all the isms are problematic. But if you want careerism, fine, just add Krishna. If you want socialism, fine, just add Krishna. You want capitalism, fine, just add Krishna. Krishna makes sense out of a whole string of zeros when you add the Supreme One. Anything else? These are very good questions. Let's see if someone else has questions. I appreciate that you're very inquisitive. Good to be enthusiastic about Krishna conscious knowledge. Anything else? Okay.
Sir, then what is the role of our body in this material world? Since if we have been the soul, then it would have been the best way to achieve it. But what is then the utility of this body?
Yes. The body, especially the human body, is not meant for sense gratification. It's meant to be a vehicle for becoming enlightened. So if you use your human body for that purpose, that is the perfection of the use of this particular tool known as the human body. If you don't use the tool in that way, then it's a great waste. And the laws of nature in the next life will not give you a human body because you don't need it. Many people, I've talked to many students in the West, and I say, what do you want to be in the next life? Because reincarnation is now popular in the West. I say, what do you want to be? He said, oh, I want to be a snake, I want to be a pig, I want to be a dog. Yes, it would be so nice to be a dog, to be a snake. They say like that because they don't understand the value of the human consciousness.
But sir, as human beings, we tend to fear truth. As human beings tend to fear truth. So we tend to like that ignorance that, okay, this is right, but I will not follow. Because it will harm me.
How can the truth harm you? It's ignorance that will harm you.
Yes, sir. So we tend to be ignorant. So why, sir?
Therefore, we need to associate with advanced persons, and then we'll feel motivation to seek the truth and benefit.
Well, I know that chanting the names of Lord Vishnu 108 times is very good. So every time I start, and with the one with the first beat,
I also started chanting in that way, one beat a day. I still remember 1973. In January, someone had given me some japa mala. So I was laying in bed at 9 o'clock in the morning, and just waking up, and And next to my bed were the japa beads. And so I said, maybe I should try. So as I was laying in the bed, I picked up the beads and I chanted one mantra, one bead. I said, oh, that's enough. Yeah. Next day, again I was laying in bed. It was Sunday morning, next day, 9 o'clock. I just woken up. So I pick up the beads. Oh, let me try again. I chanted two beads. So that's how I started. So I can understand.
We are going the right path.
So keep on going, keep increasing.
108 days.
But you see, there was a difference maybe between me and you. I wanted the highest pleasure. I prided myself on being a top New York City enjoyer. So I was always looking, where is the best pleasure? So I figured out when I was 21 that material pleasure is insubstantial and frustrating. So I was looking for the highest spiritual pleasure. I was eager. Now, how much do you want the highest pleasure?
Still now, the quest is not in me. But sir, still, I would be lucky if I start now.
You associate with those who are eager and you'll become eager. Because everyone wants the best pleasure. That is Krishna consciousness. No one wants frustrated love. We want the pure love without impediment. That is what Krishna gives. You chant Hare Krishna, you'll understand this. Anything else? When someone is... I'm sure you're speaking about when someone is taking Krishna prasad. When someone is taking Krishna prasad, they are honoring the remnants of food that has been offered to the Lord. That is a devotional activity. So you want them to concentrate on the taste of Krishna as the prasad. Therefore you do not disturb. Because they are tasting Lord Krishna in the prasad. You want them to get that full experience. Alright? So you should always cook food, offer it to Krishna, and then serve it so that others can take it with no disturbance. Let us worry about the human beings, because the animals, they'll do their own way automatically. But as a human being, you should be careful to offer your food to Krishna and take the remnants without disturbance. Concentrate on Krishna as the taste of the prasad. Okay?
Listen, one question. So to convert ourselves to this Krishna consciousness program, should we turn vegetarian? Should be
He's asking, to practice Krishna consciousness, should you turn into a vegetarian?
Vegetarian. Though we like non-veg much more than
But you are all intelligent students. You don't want the world to have a hunger problem, right? So I'm not going to ask you to eat spirulina plant algae every day, but you will help the world's hunger problem much more if you have vegetarian diet. You'll also help your own health. But even those things are true, it's not the most important reason. They're not the most important reason. The most important reason is that by offering to Krishna food and taking it, then you have a karma-free diet. Krishna only accepts certain types of food. So you offer to Krishna what he'll accept and you'll make spiritual advancement. Just by eating Krishna prasad, you become purified. Alright?
Sir,
the onion and the
garlic.
Is it non vegetable? Those are vegetables.
Yes.
We take it as non vegetable. What is the vegetable?
Is vegetarian, but it's. You like onion and garlic?
Yes.
Why?
It brings certain taste to the food.
It makes everything passionate. It
makes everything Indian.
It makes everything passionate. So, someone who wants to advance in the higher values in life avoids things that produce passion. People are already passionate enough already, yes? You don't need to increase it. So, for that reason, an intelligent person avoids foods that will agitate your passions. That's the reason. Because you want to become a first-class person of controlled mind and senses. And you can eat so nicely without onions and garlic. Asafoetida, you call it that here, or hing? Hing. You can get that same from asafoetida without the passionate effect. Okay? Who cooks for you? All right, tell her to use hing. Okay? All right? Okay. See, there's a practical answer for everything. Yes. When you say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you are worshipping Radha Krishna combined. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming as his dearest devotee to understand what that position is like. You asked about Radha and Krishna, that is high subject matter. One is the source of energy, the other is the energy. They're always together. You can't have the source of energy without the energy. You can't have the energy without the source. So when you say Hare Krishna, that's also saying Radha Krishna. And when you say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, then you're referring to Radha Krishna combined in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are deep things. And if you want to study them, then we have many books which will give you a deeper understanding. Okay? Yes. Yes.
Why it happens?
Frustrated love. That's the reason. They are young men, their loving propensity is frustrated. They're seeing so many movies from Bollywood and the US, they're seeing the TV, you know, satellite TV, and they see all these things on the screen and they want. And so they get frustrated. They get angry. And the frustration comes out in terms of that kind of behavior. Better to purify their frustrations through Krishna consciousness. Then they'll be satisfied. But they don't know how to satisfy themselves. I was explaining in Mumbai, it is a kind of schizophrenia. You know what schizophrenia is? You want the wild life of the West, but still you know you actually cannot do that. So you're caught in the middle. You have the sane, sober Indian traditions, still, even now amongst you. But then you also see on the TV, you see in the movies, the wildness of the West. So you're caught in the middle. So this produces a kind of schizophrenia, and you become very frustrated and distraught. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Okay? So let's have kirtan now. Yeah?